All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. We have on with us today our brother Sinner Saved, and we're going to get another storm call warning, and we are going to be getting a little bit of the gospel. I think with all the madness going on in the world, we need more of the gospel and less of the conspiracies. So, brother, without further ado, please take it away.
Warm greetings, friends, near and far. The Lord Jesus Christ be magnified forever and ever. His loving kindnesses, tender mercies, and compassions are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy endureth forever. This is Sinner Saved coming at you on American Vindicta YouTube channel operated by Mr. Doug Thornton and also a worldwide Christian radio, WWCR, shortwave world band at 9.350 megahertz, also 9.350 kilohertz. And God willing, this broadcast will reach you, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. It is my hope and prayer unto God Most High, the only Holy Father, that his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, be greatly exalted, that his everlasting gospel be clearly proclaimed, that the pride of mere flesh and blood men be humbled, and that his elect saints be greatly encouraged, cheered, and comforted in these evil and perilous days. Please consider having paper and pencil handy to jot down the scriptural references for your own follow-up study. And following the short gospel message of our Lord Jesus, I will give Doug and you, friends out there, some more information on how to tune in to that world band shortwave radio station. And so we begin with the weekend gospel message to follow for all hands. Heads up! Please find enclosed encouragement in so great salvation by the perfect and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, needy, and wretched sinners by his sovereign free grace. That is to say, Almighty God and his unmerited favor to save me and you from our sins and from hell. God's sovereign reign. Let every heart and voice unite to sing our Maker's praise, extol the glories of our God, and loud his anthems raise. He works his perfect holy will throughout his vast domain. For time and all eternity, God sovereignly shall reign. All men and angels, demons too, accomplish his design. All of creation works his will and makes his glories shine. Bow humbly at the sovereign throne of him who is king. Come praise the Lord with heart and voice, and of his greatness sing. That's an old gospel hymn, friends. Oh, for a thousand tongues, and the words were from preacher Jim Bird. What a glorious Savior. Christ Jesus was the obedient servant who descended into this world to perform the Father's will of redemption. Though the master of all, he became the servant of the Lord. He is the all-powerful Jehovah who partook of flesh and blood. He is infinitely holy, yet, quote, he was made to be sin that we might be made the righteousness of God, end quote. He was so glorious that angels veiled their faces in his presence, yet lowly enough to visit us in our misery. He is the mighty defender who promised his people that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Yet he is tender and compassionate toward his children. So it was said of him, a bruised reed shall he not break. Though in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, still he stoops to visit and lift a beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. In great vengeance, he will trample his enemies beneath his feet, yet he also healeth the broken in heart. This is our glorious Savior, the everlasting God, and yet the one who is not ashamed to call us brethren. What do you think about that? Hallelujah, I say. Okay, this next one, I think you folks will really appreciate it. Sit up straight. Pay attention. Preaching the issues. It is not uncommon in religion to hear preachers and even church members say, I don't make that an issue. Generally, what they mean is that any Bible truth that people find offensive, they carefully and consistently leave that issue alone. Through the years, I've met many people who certainly lived by what they said. They do not make the gospel of sovereign grace an issue. It is not, however, for any man to evaluate God's doctrine and then make a determination what part of his truth ought to be preached and which part should be avoided. We read in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It is amazing that men sit in judgment upon the doctrine that folks, that word also means teaching, that men sit in judgment upon the doctrine of God and have the audacity to evaluate one doctrine worthy of proclamation while another truth they conclude is unworthy to be proclaimed. Terrible. Generally, when men speak of not making some doctrine an issue, they are referring to the truth of God's electing and predestinating grace, Christ's redeeming grace, Christ's imputed righteousness, and the Holy Spirit's regenerating grace and the Lord's preserving grace. These same men, however, typically make a very large issue out of the freedom of man's will, so-called, though the word of God is declares that salvation is not of him that willeth. Folks, write it down, Romans 9:16. I kid you not. And that sinners are not born again due to the, quote, the will of the flesh, but of God, end quote. Look at John 1:13, friends. They are quick to make issues out of those things which are readily received among men, but they carefully avoid making an issue of the total ruin and sinfulness of all mankind, the free grace of God, the gospel of Christ's successful redemption, and his accomplishment of putting away the sins of his people by his bloody sacrifice. These self-appointed judges, of which parts of the word of God they deem worthy of believing, do not make the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration an issue. These self-created editors of God's word are, in fact, deceitful workers who endeavor to rob God of the glory of his grace and salvation. In reality, their issue is to exalt the sinner and in the process degrade and dethrone the Lord. Horrible. Rest assured, the Lord will not hold him guiltless who has taken upon himself to avoid truths that magnify the sovereign grace of God. Surely hell enlarges herself, opening her mouth wide to swallow up those men who deem the sovereign grace of Almighty God to sinners through Christ's accomplishment of redemption to be unworthy of proclamation. And that was from Preacher Jim Bird of 13th Street Baptist Church, located in Ashland, Kentucky, USA. So if you go to Sermon Audio, friends, and you type in the search bar, just type in Jim Bird, B-Y-R-D. He's a preacher of righteousness. A reading from Psalm 148, verses 11 through 14. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Growing up, I heard preachers talk about the plan of salvation. Then they would commence to tell sinners how to get saved. Salvation is not a how-to plan. Salvation is of the Lord. That's from Jonah 2:9. It is not how to get saved, but who saves? The Lord. The Lord purpose to save a people. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, died for those people, and the Holy Spirit calls them by the gospel and regenerates them. It is all of the Lord, from Alpha to Omega, the beginning to the end. If we are to build a house, well, then let's talk about how the how-to plan. But If we're to talk about salvation, let's talk about the doing and dying and rising again of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was from a preacher named John Chapman. They preached the gospel of grace. And I'm reading from Acts 15:11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. The apostles and the early believers were despised by the religious Jews because of the gospel which they preached. It was not because they lived immoral lives. It was not because they failed to do good works, nor because they were covetous or proud men. They were persecuted because the gospel of God's grace, which they preached, was offensive to human pride. They preached, as I trust we do also, that salvation, even for the most moral person on earth, is only possible because of the grace and mercy of God given to us in Christ Jesus. I think I have to say that again. They preached that salvation, even for the most moral person on earth, is only possible because of the grace and mercy of God given to us in Christ Jesus. These people of God knew nothing of so-called free will. They knew nothing about decisionism. They knew nothing of giving God a chance. They knew only one way of salvation, that of God being gracious and showing sovereign mercy to sinners in Christ. The gospel of grace and glory does not appear occasionally in their preaching and writings, nor was it a deeper truth of doctrine which they discussed privately. It reigns, it shines, and dominates all what they said, wrote, and did. It was the only thing that they preached, friends. To them, any word of human worthiness, works, or rights was totally wrong and accounted for nothing in the matter of acceptance before God. They addressed all men, even themselves, as guilty, condemned, and justly perishing unless God is pleased to come in mercy and lift the beggar from his dunghill dwelling, sanctify and justify him through Christ Jesus, and accept him in the beloved. And from Psalm 67:1, God be merciful to us and bless us, cause thy face to shine upon us. I say amen to that. And that fireball message was from preacher Henry Mahan, who's praising the master and in paradise, golden and radiant with joy, just like my dear little cinnamon girl, Kelly Joe, I'd call her. She, the Lord, the angel of the Lord took little Kelly Joe to be with the master in paradise, Odark 30, Saturday morning, February 25th. And praise God. She was in such a hurt locker. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It is written in Isaiah 45:22, where our Lord Jesus Christ commands, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. The master also says in Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, it is imperative that you flee to Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow, for none of us are promised another day on this planet. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ while he may be found and seek him while he is near. Only by being in Christ, the ark of our salvation, may we be delivered from the fierce wrath of Almighty God, which is coming soon upon the wicked. This about wraps up this evening's broadcast. I trust Almighty God the Father will awaken his sleeping elect and draw multitudes of men, women, and children around the world to his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness. Yehovah Sidkenu, bless the name, Baruch Hashem. If you'd like to communicate, then please feel free to write. The email address is thelordbemagnified@gmail.com, and please indicate what country you're from, what life is like, where you live, and how the reception was on this YouTube channel, American Vindicta, and also how the reception was on your shortwave radio. And allow me, please, friends out there listening, please pump some Federal Reserve notes. Get them to Mr. Doug Thornton. That would be a blessing. You've got a great channel. In closing, I will say most heartily, great is our Lord Jesus Christ and greatly to be praised. Take heart, friends, our mighty and glorious King of Kings, Lord of Lords, King of Saints, King of Glory, the HaKadosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel, is inbound for his afflicted saints. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, Maranatha.
Maranatha. Man, that was awesome. You know,
praise God.
One of the things that I look back and I see what's going on across America. I did a horrible thing. I want to confess something. I did a horrible thing recently, and I joined Twitter.
Oh!
And yeah, stupid me. Well, here's the thing. You know, you can't trust mainstream media to get your news anymore. So I decided to go to the thousands of independent reporters that are on Twitter. And actually, it's my good buddy Tim Alberino, who is the one who convinced me to finally join Twitter, because that is where people are communicating at, unfortunately. And, you know, all I want to do is I just want to see the news so that I can be able to bring a different perspective of the news to the viewers, to the listeners. And, you know, I'm hoping
and you do a good job of it too.
I appreciate it, man. I'm no Tucker Carlson, but you know, I'm trying my best to, you know, Billy, I mean, our views of the way of the world are different. We have experiences that many people don't have. So we view things much differently. We view things that, you know, I find some things to be more atrocious and some things to be more relevant and some things to be just, you know, hey, this is dangerous. Our views compared to some of the average civilians would be different. Now, there's plenty of average civilians out there who have probably lived wilder lives than you and I, but we've just seen things through a kinetic aspect, an operational aspect.
Let me interject. Let me interject real quick. Those darn civilians, Doug, they don't even know how to dress alike.
Oh, man. You know, I want to give a shout out to an actual YouTube page. And these guys, they're called the Dirty Civilians or Dirty Civilian. And it's a play on words, right? Dirty Civilian. You and I were talking about this the other day. And I've been watching a few of their videos. It just popped up in my YouTube feed. And I was like, you know what? They get a lot of hate from the brother veterans that are out there. Because these are civilians trying to be tactical and practical and, you know, just give a different aspect to the gun community. I find nothing wrong with that. I actually find a lot of their stuff to be entertaining, and it's an insight.
Good for them.
It's a good insight on how guys who don't have the, you know, decades of training, how they view things and how they view how they should train and priority for training, you know, priority for prepping. It is interesting because they do things similar to us and we do things a little bit different from them. The thing that I hate is where, you know, obviously their tactics can be improved. Can't ours all, right? So I see a lot of people beating them up in the comment section. I'm never going to say anything of that. Here's what I will say, though, is that I enjoy the fact that civilians are getting into the gunplay world. They're getting back into actual preparedness, not this doomsday prepper Discovery Channel drama crap, because that was staged.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was, yeah, that was, if anything, that was
ridiculous.
Horrible to watch. Yeah, horrible, horrible. So years ago, you'll find this funny. The Discovery Channel was actually asking people to write in and to say, hey, if you have a unique doomsday plan scenario idea, write it into us. And if it sounds good enough, we'll contact you. Our producers will contact you and we'll, you know, we'll start the conversation. So I was like, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write in. And I did. I wrote into Discovery Channel. I said, listen, this is my plan. I'm going to take all of everyone else's stuff. Everyone who has shown their face and their location, I have wrote it all down. And when prophecy hits the fan, I'm paying every one of them a visit because now I know everything that they've done and prepared for. You know, this is OPSEC, right? Operational security. And it's funny to me because, you know, I mean, obviously I would never do that. But, you know, you don't think about it, right? You know, we have civilians who are saying, hey, look at how much I prepared. I live in an old nuclear silo. Buddy, I can flush you out of there pretty fast with some CS grenades. Unless you're prepared and you got a lot of cartridges, I got a lot of time to wait. So, you know, people think about stuff like this, right? But, you know, let's talk about your opinion on this for a second for a matter. Is that when prophecy hits the fan, as it is currently, and the banking system collapses, Billy, what would you say should be some of the top things that civilians should do? And it's going to be a two-part question. Preemptively, before it happens, and right after it happens. You've got decades of experience of being a Navy SEAL and being in some of the top units that people typically aren't supposed to know about or weren't supposed to know about at one point. So with that operational mindset, what should people do before the banking collapse and then right after it's announced?
First and foremost, very easy for me to answer. As I was blasting out the Lord's Jesus' gospel message like a M2 air-cooled, disintegrating, link-belt-fed Browning 50 cal, you've got to flee to Christ immediately. None of us are promised another day, right? Okay, number two, it is a good thing to warn your neighbors. Now, I know that can have be a problem later if they don't take heed, but it's a godly thing to tell people, hey, you best get water filtration. That's the first thing people are going to die of in this country when the balloon goes up, so to speak, will be waterborne illnesses. Have the kind that you could keep in your get home safely rucks. Have the larger Berkey units inside your home. You can't have enough water filtration. Then, of course, is food. Then, of course, is the window of opportunity to acquire these things is about ready to shut, and it's almost too late to prepare. I mean, pretty soon they're going to kick in this economic collapse and go to that whatever that special global currency is going to be. And then you're not going to be able to buy a whole bunch of food. Get food, over the counter medications, triple antibiotic creams, don't forget the condiments, folks, sea salt, black pepper, garlic, onion powder. I mean, if whatever it is you like, it'll spice up the foods, and do not plan on just eating MREs for months and months and months. You're not going to be a happy camper. Bob said something about that.
Yeah, they will destroy their stomach if they do that. I don't think many people understand that.
Right, and all the additives and stuff. But, go to stores where you can get case lots of whatever it is you like and just start stacking high. It's a very prudent thing to do. Noah prepared, him and his seven family members, they prepared like fiends. I think it was 120 years before the flood. And put it this way, the Lord did not have Noah and his seven family members to prepare lifeboats with food and water and candy for all the reprobates that were drowning in the midst of this deluge. That's kind of important to understand. And while it is a good thing to preemptively warn people, but there's coming a time, consider in Matthew 25, you had the five wise virgins and the five foolish. Well, they all were sleeping, which is kind of insightful when we think of many professing Christians today. But okay, behold, the bridegroom cometh, and they all wake up, and the five wise had adequate plenty of oil, And the five foolish ran out. They ran out. And the Lord had told the five wise to say to the foolish, they were begging, give us of your oil. And they said, not so, lest there not be enough for us. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Well, that was impossible, Doug and friends, because this is like dark 30. The sun wasn't even up and there wasn't no stores open. So in the end, those five foolish were locked out, weeping and gnashing their teeth. If a man does not provide for his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You know, there's a time and there's a place for charity. But I tell you what, folks want to eat, they're going to be busting up my firewood for me. They're going to be roving patrols. They're going to be staying and watch. They're going to be doing stuff. I'm not, I'll just hush up for a minute, but, you asked a really big encompassing question. There's a lot to it. Oh, let me add one more thing.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Let me add one more. They're going to come out with these goofy laws, anti-hoarding laws, whatever. Hypocrites. The U.S. government is the largest hoarder of survival food stuffs in the world. Ain't with all those 135 some deep underground military bases. Don't tell me what I can and can't have, for crying out loud. And you know what? Those of you who are in Christ, remember the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. And the Lord is still in the process of rebuking the devourer. The Lord rebukes the devourer from his people. So we got nothing to fear but a reverential awe and holy fear of the Most High God. And may he help us to become bold as lions. Lord, help us, please, for thy name's sake. Go ahead, bro.
You know, I sit here and I watch the news. There's now a new fungal disease that's spreading throughout America. The CDC just said there's a flesh-eating fungus that's kind of like candida. Gosh. That's going throughout the hospitals. Short story, I've been talking about that for at least 2 or 3 years now since being on the radio, that is what we saw and experienced when we were in El Paso in 2018. In 2018, we were detaining many, many people, you know, thousands and thousands of people. And there were these three people that had came from Cuba. It was two men and a woman. Two men and a woman. And they had come from Venezuela up through the Colombian forest. And then, you know, throughout Central America, Mexico. And then they found their way into El Paso. Sometime during this, they had gone through a jungle in Colombia, and from there they had picked up this fungus that no one can understand really what it was. And when we were talking with the doctors, they didn't know what it was, but it scared the hell out of all of us because it killed all three of these poor people within a matter of a day or days of being in our custody. It literally ate through them. I mean, dude, I'm not joking.
Like necrosis?
Yeah, well, no worse. I don't understand what you would call this, okay? But one guy had it on his hand. So they tried to give him medications. They put the fungus in a petri dish, and they tried multiple different ways of destroying it, and it wouldn't die. It would just keep spreading.
I wonder if colloidal silver would have knocked it out. Hey, listen, let me interject real quick. If you folks that aren't in Christ right now and you're kind of rolling your eyes about what Doug and I are talking about, I challenge you to go to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy and read very carefully the blessings of the Lord upon his people and then the curses of the Lord against the nation that turns its back on him. I tell you what, I think every one of those curses is in high gear right now, including the topic you just brought up. And in fact, this is an easy number to remember. Deuteronomy 28, verse 28, The Lord is smiting this nation with madness and astonishment of heart. And I tell you, folks, much more to come. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, to finish your story is when this fungus was on these people, the one guy had it on his hand. They had to amputate his hand. Well, then it got into the flesh and into the bone. And so they had to amputate his arm.
Dear Lord.
Well, eventually it got into his body cavity and he died. And I joke you not, I believe it took 48 hours. Because I remember I was a supervisor on shift, and it was my guys who caught him, and we're putting him into the hospitals, and we're at the Memorial Hospital there in El Paso, and our guys are freaked out, man. And one lady had it on the side of her face. She died. I think she was the first one who died. And then another guy had it somewhere on like his midsection, his abdomen or something. And it got into the internal cavity, ate the organs up. You know, the guy died. And so the doctors ended up destroying everything that was inside there because it had like spread. So I think that's what this is. And if so, if you're a scientist and you're listening to me right now, there are some people from the CDC who do listen to this. If you know what we're talking about, please put it down in the comment section or send me an email because I want to know more because, dude, this is bad stuff, all right? From what I've read so far, like fire is how you kill this. And then you have this weird thing called this weird super reprobate TV show on HBO Max, and of course it's HBO Max, The Last of Us, right? And it's all about these, you know, this fungus that brings people back to life and turns them into zombies, more or less.
Whoa.
And so when that comes out, that came out a couple months ago, that movie or TV series.
That's
predictive
programming.
That's
what Dave Hodges calls, bam.
Yep, predictive programming. Oh, me and Dave's talked about this so many. There's so many things that are predictive programming that have come to life. So many.
Yep.
That it is it's hard to continue to mark them down. But these things are coming to life, all right? And, you know, don't be shocked if Godzilla comes out of the water one day. That's all I can say. You know, he's going to New
really?
York one way or the other. But this is what I say, you know, prepare wisely, prepare as the wise did. And that's why the wise survived. And the foolishness of Americans to sit here and think everything's going to be okay. This'll just pass. You know, I can still go to Walmart and get food. I can still go to, you know, Chick-fil-A and get my chicken or whatever. You know, hey, that's groovy, man. That stuff all works right now while it's allowed. But the day that we do to America what we did to Iraq and Afghanistan and Ukraine, that stops.
Well, let me tell you, I read an article from a real investigative journalist right after we were living in Central America for almost 5 years, and then we moved to a beautiful part in the Great Lakes region. And this journalist said that within 3 weeks, he studied all the food famines in the 20th century. And the University of Hawaii calculated the professors and their graduate students that in the 20th century alone, governments did what's called democide. They murdered their own people to the tune of something like 240 million in that 100-year period. That was kindergarten stuff for what these wicked, God-hating reprobates are planning to do. And then you heard about the infamous Deagle report that come the year 2025, this brilliant fellow, Dr. Edwin Deagle, is saying that the entire United States of America is going to go from 330 million down to 99,600,000 souls. And back to this journalist, he said within 3 weeks, people will resort to cannibalism. And it's no accident that I've seen the videos. There's some of the most grotesque things I've ever seen. These movie celebrities and bankers and these wealthy people, they're all dressed in like white lab medical coats and they're sawing up cakes that resemble a human body. And there's actually a person's head sticking through the the table, and he's going, "No!" He's screaming, "Don't do it!" Most people are, what's the term, Doug? Cognitive dissonance is one of them. I'll tell you, one of the most interesting men I ever met in my life. This true story is the first SEER school I went through. I've been to a total of three of them. The SEER school is survival, evasion, resistance, and escape training. And they beat your ass. They really do. And I won't go through all of it. But during the resistance and escape portion, toward the end of the course, it was like a Soviet style thing. And the accents were really good from the SEER cadre. And one of the men that acted as like the political officer, his name was Doug Hagdahl. Doug was 18 years old on a Navy destroyer, I think, off the coast of North Vietnam or South Vietnam, whatever. And a 5-inch gun repercussion knocked him overboard while he was tossing the trash off the fantail. So he's treading water overnight, and he gets picked up by fishermen who turn him over to the North Vietnamese, the communists. And they thought Doug Hagdahl may have been a commando because he was like a pro high school football dude, and he was really beefy. And well, they sent him to the Hanoi Hilton. The guy was an E2, a seaman apprentice, I think. And they tortured him for weeks and weeks, and they finally realized this guy is exactly who he says he is. He doesn't know the squat. And there's a point to the story. Allow me to finish. So Doug is in the Hanoi Hilton. He's like the most junior, and there's 04, 0, 0, 02s up to like I think a full bird Navy captain, equal to a colonel. And at one point, Jane Fonda visited the Hanoi Hilton, and she was all about the communists. And one of the POWs slipped her a piece of paper. How he got the paper or the pencil is beyond me. And it had his full name, his rank, and his social security number, and slipped it to her, hoping she would take it back and show this to the authorities in America so that the poor family members who didn't know if he was a POW, they didn't know if he was KIA or missing in action, nothing. She turned that poor POW in, who was tortured relentlessly for I don't know how many weeks. But so the North Vietnamese got smart, and they saw that there was a lot of anti-war protesters. And so they announced to the world that we're going to release Doug Hagdahl, who at this time might be 19 or 20. I think he was there 2 years. And the senior ranking officer, prisoner of war, that is, ordered Doug to memorize the names of something like 275 fellow POWs. And he was very, very intellectual. He memorized all their names, and how he did it will stun you. He gets back to the States, they debrief him, and he says, "Hey, you got to turn a recording machine on." And he names all those men to the tune of Old MacDonald Had a Farm. And they said to Doug, "Hey, you got to slow down." I said, "No, I can't slow down. You got to slow the recording down." Well, Doug was the political officer in the SEER school I went through back when I was in Special Boat Unit 13 before I went through SEAL training. And I'll never forget what he taught me. He said, "The worst thing a military man, and I contend it can be civilians here in our country, the worst thing you can do is to remain willfully ignorant and deceive oneself by erroneously believing, 'Oh no, nothing bad will ever happen to me or my family or my neighborhood or my state or my country.'" So there it is. That's the moral of the story. Wake up, folks.
With all the stuff with the Russians going on, I looked back to a article from 1955 to 58, and the Pentagon, Department of Defense, CIA, the FBI, the Air Force, and the Atomic Energy Commission, AEC, had all had a briefing that was done to include the vice president and the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the president. But they had all
Right.
had a briefing that was done by the man who created the first nuclear bomb. And what they did was they disseminated information to these higher-ups. That's what we call higher-ups, folks. And they disseminated information to them saying, look, we have been monitoring what the Ruskies have been up to, their capabilities, their factory capabilities, the ability to generate war machines, and also the missiles, and obviously atomic weapons. And what they stated in 55 was that at that point in time, Russia would invade America via a suicide bombing. So if worse came to worse, and they had multiple fuel stops, I'm doing a whole big recording on this right now. I'm reading the entire document. And this was classified, top secret classified. And then it was leaked back in the 90s and then reclassified. So the rest of it, nobody knows. But I at least have like 28 pages of it. But in this 28 pages, the government was thoroughly freaked out, thoroughly freaked out. We're like, look, between 55 and 58, what we have war gained. And these are, you know, this is before computers were doing this, guys. This is men who are actually having to be on spy craft and who are having to use other means to get a lot of this information. Real HUMET, right? Human intelligence.
Right.
And what they were doing is they said, listen, between 55 and 58, the most likely outcome is that Russia will get past all of our defenses with at least half of their aircraft. And so in 55, it was 900 or more aircraft that could go from Russia into America. And this is from internal Russia into America. And depending on combat casualties, at least half would make it. And that half was about 370. And that's 370 carrying tactical nuclear weapons.
Man.
All right.
I got something to add to you when you're done.
Okay. And 58, that was tripled. And that was that was in 58. Okay. So to go along with they said, also, not only do we know for a fact that the Russians have been targeting the East Coast and the West Coast, most especially the East Coast, but they could most likely attack the Northwest region of America with impunity. There would be almost no stopping it. But what they said was they're going to be aiming for factories, hospitals. Why hospitals?
No doubt.
Factories, hospitals, bridges, highways, interstates, military bases, and even potentially large populations. And to go along with this, within the first salvo of these bombs being dropped, they considered the fact that probably within the first 24 to 72 hours, there'd be 20 million dead on the East Coast, untold on the West.
That's going to be worse than that.
This was with prop planes and jet planes that had just been created. Okay. They didn't even go into full account of launching intercontinental ballistic missiles because that didn't come around until 58. But at 58, they said that due to the intercontinental ballistic missile, and they only said that because Sputnik went in the air. That was what Sputnik was really all about. Sputnik was to show America, we have an intercontinental ballistic missile. We have something that can lift a nuclear weapon into orbit and drop it on you. And we didn't have it.
Man.
You know, Von Braun was creating the Saturn missile system, stage three missile system, same thing that he was working on in Germany when he was still, you know, working for the Nazis, because he was always a Nazi in my eyes. Originally, he had the stage one, stage two, and that's what they were using against America. But with the Saturn missile, that's the stage three and on up. That was to catch up to the Russians for the nuclear threat. And it was Von Braun, actually, who said he was out there in White Sands in New Mexico when he was stationed in El Paso. He said, we can actually put a nuclear weapon on one of these missiles. And back then he was talking about the V-2, that's the Vengeance 2 rockets. And he said, we could put a nuclear weapon on this and lob it at least 1,000 miles, put another propulsion system on it. So that's the stage two.
Gosh.
It can go probably 2,000 miles. And we can put it into orbit and it would save energy and it will travel faster because there's no air current up there, and then drop it right back down on Russia. And Russia was always the goal, right? So along with all this, they said that Russia will use saboteurs to have multiple terrorist attacks throughout the country, hitting all the grids. Yep. And guess what? Biological weapon releases. Typhoid.
No doubt.
Typhoid, cholera, smallpox, you name it. The stuff that they had access to in World War II was horrific. What we have access to now is unthinkable. And not only that, the hypersonic missiles have been known to get past our systems by modern war games. Back in 2018, the Air Force admitted it, that the hypersonic missiles from Russia and China will beat our current defense system, because both of those countries produce more rockets than we produce defensive capability rockets. What do you think about that?
You're schooling me. I didn't know a lot of that, but none of it surprises me. And I'll tell you why it doesn't. You can read this Deuteronomy chapter 28 about invasion for the nation that turns its back on Almighty God and despises the Lord Jesus Christ and hates his everlasting gospel. But it's mentioned throughout Jeremiah, the prophet Isaiah, but also in 2 Kings 24. Let's just pick out one national abominational sin, and that would be infanticide, slaughtering of the babies. Well, let me read 2 Kings 24, 1 through 4. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. Verse 2, and the Lord sent against him, against the Jews, bands of the Chaldees, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon. The word bands in Hebrew means troops. And sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants, the prophets. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now, the Lord will forgive. Jesus said all manner of sin can be forgiven if you flee to Christ now. But when judgment comes upon a nation as a whole rarely repents. But this judgment that Doug has been warning us about is coming upon the United States of America, the continental U.S. And I tell you what, I've heard stories that Russia wants Alaska back. The Chinese are most likely going to take over the Hawaiian Islands. What's going to stop them from taking American Samoa, the island of Guam, Wake Island, Midway Island, Puerto Rico? It's going to come down so very hot and heavy, and it's definitely going to be Chinese and Russian, and who knows what else. So you saw that the Lord sent four different countries their troops to Shwele and Mudsuck and ambush the people that were committing that one abominable, terrible sin of abortion. And I'll pick up the lull. There's something else I wanted. Oh, I remember now. Allow me, Doug. This was about the year 2007, 2008. And I came across this glowing article praising the Chinese for the state of Michigan. And it was the chief editor of the Ann Arbor, that's a city in Michigan, the Ann Arbor Business Review. And he's like, oh, it's so great. They're going to help our state of Michigan. And I think the Lord had me to just start writing, or I start pounding the keyboard. And I warned this editor that the Chinese treat their people like insects. I mean, what they're going to tear this nation apart. And I got to thinking, hey, I'm going to send this also to the Michigan National Guard, to I think it was a brigadier general or something, and to the Michigan Department of Homeland Security, who was a National Guard colonel. Now, that certainly might got me on some checklist. I don't care. the blood of the citizens of this country will not be upon your head, Doug, and they will not be upon my head, because we have warned them, and it's going to happen sooner rather than later, and people are going to be crapping their pants, man. Anyway, go ahead.
I'll just, you know, dobre vecher, America, only a dude.
I wrote in the letter to all those people. I said, you better start learning how to speak Mandarin. Ni hao ma, zai jian. Because, man, they're coming, baby. They're here already. You know about all the sleeper cells.
Mm-hmm. There's more than we know. You know, in 2012, I remember getting briefed by the FBI. Our little agency got briefed by the FBI because we were doing certain operations at that point in time. And that there were 90 known terrorist cells within Washington, D.C.
What?
Known.
Man.
Known.
Man.
All right. And that's
airball.
That's back when I actually trusted the FBI. And I knew quite a few of those guys. A lot of them was retired out or been pushed out. You know, back then, those dudes were hard chargers. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of got separated to where you had like the men would stand over here, and then you would have the lefties would go over here, the commies. You know, and you got to understand, there has been exposed military officers that are pro-communist in America's military.
Oh, yeah. The Council on Foreign Relations. You'd be shocked at how many flag officers. It's like they sell their soul to the devil or something, man.
Absolutely.
What's up with that?
I want to read real quick, because we're talking about some, you know, future stuff. I want to read Joel 2, verse 1 to 11. This always perplexes me. And to me, it's I'm very big into the paranormal because, you know, modern day, everything that's going on right now sucks. So I like to be entertained.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I like to read about the ghosts and the goblins and the, you know, Loch Ness monsters and Bigfoots and all that. It's better than looking at man walking around in dresses saying, look at me, I'm a woman. So I'd rather go the cryptid route because it's more entertaining. So I want to read, and for any of you out there, you know, the judgment that God will be bringing to America is something that we can't plan for. We can't fight against. No matter how great our weaponry is, no matter how great our military is, you cannot fight God's judgment. And I'm beyond the point of wanting to repent for the sins of our fathers and our nation, because every day I turn on my freaking phone in between all the social media sites that I monitor, and then a bunch of news that I get coming in from people all over the world, the disparaging word is that violence is escalating. Debauchery is escalating. Reprobatism is like half the country at this point. And then there's like a quarter of it is cowards. Cowards who watch people and film people being raped and murdered and beaten mercilessly, and they do nothing about it. And then the other half is us who are sitting out here in the boondocks like I am, and like, this is why I don't go to protests. This is why my kids don't go to homes, or this is why my kids are homeschooled. This is why I don't do this. This is why I detached myself from the world, because it's not getting any better, man. And I'd rather just not throw me and my gun and my family into that world if I don't have to.
Agreed.
Right. So listen to this.
Agreed. Hey, you read 1 through 11 and then let me read 12 through 14, brother.
Roger. All right. So Joel 2, verse 1 through 11. Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the Lord tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness, there is a spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful people. Their like has never been before. Pay attention to what is about to be wrote down, and I'm going to say, Nor will be again after them through the years of all generations. Fire devours before them, and behind them the flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, but behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like war horses they run. As with the rumbling of chariots, they leap on the tops of the mountains, that like the crackling of a flame of fire devouring the stubble, like a powerful army drawn up for battle. Before them, peoples are in anguish. All faces grow pale. That means people are scared to death of what is coming towards them, okay? Like warriors, they charge. It says like warriors, though. It doesn't call them warriors. It says like warriors, they charge. Like soldiers, they scale the wall. They march on. They march each on his way. They do not swerve from their paths. That sounds very robotic when I think of this, okay?
Whoa. Never thought of that.
Well, here we go. They do not swerve from their paths. They do not jostle one another. That means they're not running into one another, okay? Each marches in his path. They burst through the weapons and are not halted. Men don't do that. Men do not burst through in-placed weaponry.
Bad.
They leap upon the city wall. Men don't leap upon city walls. They run up on the walls. Men don't run up on the walls. They climb up into the houses. They enter through the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord utters his voice before his army, for his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful, for the day of the Lord is great and very awesome, and who can endure it? That's Joel 2, 1 through 11.
And picking up at verse 12, there, listen carefully. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil, meaning the calamities. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him? Again, flee to Christ now.
You cannot prepare for the day of the Lord. But there's many people who are going to say, well, the day of the Lord is for everyone else, and pre-tribulation rapture is going to happen, and we're all going to be sucked out of here in the blink of an eye. Hey, look, I'm not going to battle doctrine with people. I do not care about your doctrine. You need to be prepared to meet the Lord right now, today. For any of you who are listening, man, you could have a heart attack right now and die. Are you ready to see God, or are you ready for pre-tribulation? You better be ready for God every single day. So pre-tribulation at that point doesn't matter anymore. It really doesn't. All right, be prepared any day for this. But what we're talking about is something that is supernatural, supranatural. These are things that we haven't seen before. We haven't discussed these types of beings. We don't know what they are. Could it be animatronic, you know, like what DARPA is creating? DARPA's already created a mechanical cheetah that can run like 60 miles an hour. You know, what happens whenever Atlas finally gets the little brain put into him through artificial intelligence, and now you have, you know, Terminator coming to life? Like, we didn't all say for the last 30 years, please, for the love of everything good and holy, don't make Terminator into a reality. But DARPA does it anyways. So what we're saying is you may want to be prepared physically, spiritually, and you may want to do a little bit of training every now and then. Because, man, I'm telling you, Billy, these days are getting dark. These days are dark.
Big time.
It's not like when you and I were kids, and for most of you listening, it's not like when we were kids, man. You just can't let your kids go roam around the block anymore. And you should not be going to the grocery store. If you live in a suburban area or in a major metropolitan area, you should not be going out, for one thing, by yourself and thinking everything is going to be A-okay and lollygagging. Your head needs to be on a swivel, because even a grown man now is a victim of crime, because you have roving gangs that are increasing in their number and increasing in their violence, but decreasing in their age. Like right now in New York City, some of the most apparently biggest roving gangs that are out there are coming from teenagers. And I have seen video after video. Teenagers are stupid people. Okay, I'm going to say that again. any of you as a teenager, can you look back and think, I was a highly intelligent grown up and I had full bearing of my mind? Maybe a couple of you. For the rest of you, don't lie. You know, we were all stupid kids. What I see is so dangerous is stupid kids that will gang up on somebody and they beat that person until they're almost dead or they're incapacitated. And then they continue to beat them. Okay. And that is called deadly force. The last thing I want to see as a grown man is a group of kids coming my way wanting to cause problems. And whenever I say I'm not the one and they continue to go on, hey, listen, guys, I'm going back home to my family one way or the other, through you or around you. It doesn't matter to me. If I have to have some skulls dangling from my belt afterwards, I will get home no matter what. And that better be the mindset of every one of you out there, you cowardly men who you sit on your hands while people get, they get ridiculed in public. You don't back up anybody. You don't stand up for anybody. Women get harassed. People are being attacked left and right. And half of you cowards sit there and tremble while the other half record it. I am so sick of what I'm seeing now, Billy.
Allow me to interject. Oh, me too, man. If you're not righteously indignant, vindicta, there's something wrong with you. The master warned us, his people, that the love of many shall wax cold. And that word wax means to grow cold. The Apostle Paul said, speaking of the days we're in that right now, Doug and friends listening, that but evil men and seducers shall wax, grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And there's a prophecy in Isaiah, I forget where, but the truth has fallen in the streets and justice standeth afar off. That's what's happening with our federal government and in many state governments. It's without rule of law. It's anarchy. It's tyranny. And then there's this another prophecy from Isaiah that women shall rule over them and children will be their oppressors. Isn't that something? That's today, buddy.
Well, we only got a minute left, so I'll go ahead and say spoknoi noche visem. So good night, everybody that's listening. Billy, you got about 1 minute, man. You want to lead us out?
Yeah. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. For all the for all that are listening, let's seek the face of Abba Father, Holy Father. We call upon your name in the name of thine only begotten Son, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Oh, nothing is hid from thee, Father. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy. Subdue our iniquities according to your precious promises. Help us to fully trust, delight, commit, and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us. Quicken us to your word at all times, oh God, and continue to lead and protect and provide for us. And we pray very quickly that in wrath you remember mercy and hide us in the day of your anger. And we pray, oh Father, that we be accounted worthy to escape, that we may stand before the Son of Man. We don't know when that's happening, but we love you, Father. And we bless your holy name forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, I just hope that you have mercy upon us and our families and that you encourage the men to stand up and do what's right. And women,
yes, Lord,
keep hounding your men until they finally get up. Kick them off that damn couch.
Yes, Lord.
All right, guys, that's all we got. Ladies and gentlemen, stay frosty. We'll see you next time.
Roger.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.